1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 and Ephesians 4 and 30. This is a short, one of the shortest verses in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4 and 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to open up our hearts to the things that you want to say to us tonight. Help us, Lord, to be attentive and responsive, Lord, and obedient to your word, we pray in Jesus' name. This verse in 1 Thessalonians is a verse that can be compared to, or it compares the work of the Holy Spirit to fire. A fire that can either be fed fuel and fanned so that it stays alive and vibrant, or you can pull the fuel, not add fuel, not add oxygen, and do those kind of things to quench it, to put the fire out, or to cause it to be snuffed out, the flames of the Spirit of God. These are two words of strong admonition to believers, to you and me. So we're not talking to people unsaved or people outside of the church, or maybe even someone that would walk in and visit the church that's not a Christian. We're talking, and these verses are talking to you and me as the church. Quench not the Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit. Whatever we do, we can withhold or can do anything that is contrary to the will of God, to that which pleases the Lord. And if we're not careful, we will snuff out the flame of the Spirit of God. I think we misunderstand that the working of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, is very, very sensitive to our responsiveness, to you and me. And we can quench the Spirit sometimes by some act that we do, some word that is spoken, maybe by our temper, or anything that we might do that would be contrary to that which pleases the Lord. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God or quench the Holy Spirit of God. Just think about that. That there's things you can say, there are attitudes we can have, there are actions that we can take, there are words that can be spoken, maybe even our spirit, our temper, that might be indulged, and that would quench the Spirit. It would hinder the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. I've told about this experience before, but this has probably been 30 years ago. We were in Oklahoma pastoring. I was teaching in the sanctuary class. We call the Bible class here. I was teaching that class. There was a man in the service that had been coming to the church for some time. And for some reason, he had decided to be contrary toward me. So as I would be teaching, he would take the opposing view and contradict me. This wasn't one time. This was a lot of times. And it was publicly that he was doing it. And you know me, my personality, I'm not the kind of person that flies off the handle and loses my cool. But this guy just kept on, week after week after week. And it was like he was getting at me and trying to get at me, and finally he did. Believe it or not, I do have a breaking point. And so he said something in a Sunday school class one Sunday, and I had got to my limit, sad to say. And I'm not going to say all to you that I said to him, but I thoroughly lined him out in front of everybody. I just took all I could take, and I just... And I felt pretty good about myself for about 30 seconds. And then I felt this heaviness come over me. It was there Sunday morning. It was back Sunday night. And all through that week, I felt that heaviness. I couldn't get it off my mind. I knew the guy had been irritating. He had done things and said things he probably shouldn't have said. But I did too. I did too. And I had grieved the Holy Spirit. And no doubt quenched the Holy Spirit. I felt such a grieving in my own spirit over what I had said. So finally, throughout that week, as I considered it, prayed about it, got to the next Sunday, stood up in the Sunday school class, and I said, before we get started in this class today, there's something I need to do. And I addressed my comments to that brother, and I said, brother, I just want you to know publicly that what I said last week was wrong, and I should have never have addressed you that way. Now, I know he was being ornery himself, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was my response to it, my attitude that I had. And so I publicly apologized to him and said, I'm sorry for the way I responded to you and the things that I said last Sunday morning. Please forgive me. As soon as I said it, that man, who was about 6'5" or 6", he was a giant of a man, that man bent over in his seat and began to cry out loud like a baby. And the Spirit of God came into that classroom, that sanctuary classroom, and the Spirit of God took over the rest of that class. It was a move of the Spirit. I had quenched the Spirit. Now, the other brother helped me quench it. But we had quenched the Spirit and hindered the Spirit. And it was only as we got our attitudes right and he repented. And later this man came to me and apologized and later came to me and said to me some things. I don't have to repeat all these things, but he's passed away, gone to heaven now. But all those years, and I've seen him a few times through the years, and his attitude toward me was, you're my friend. You're my brother. And I love you and I respect you. And that was our relationship from that day forward. So a relationship was saved, but even more important than that, the Spirit of God was allowed to move. And we didn't quench the Spirit, or we took care of the problem of the Spirit being quenched. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is sensitive. He is easily grieved. And when he does, he withdraws. That's why we have to be careful what we do in a church service. We have to be cautious about our attitude in a church service. We have to be attentive to the voice of God. We have to be listening to the voice of God. We have to be responsive to what God is wanting to do. So when we come to the house of the Lord, yeah, we pay attention to what's going on, but even more important is we're feeling after God. We're feeling after the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We don't want him to be grieved. We don't want him to withdraw himself. Remember what David said there in Psalm 51? He knew he had sinned with Bathsheba. And before that, he'd enjoyed fellowship with the Lord and a close fellowship with the Lord. But he said, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. This is in his Psalm of Repentance. Don't remove your Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Renew a right spirit in me. He was asking to be restored back in fellowship. He didn't want the Spirit of God to be withdrawn from him. And it was his sin, and it was his evil, and his disobedience that quenched the Spirit of God. Amen. So it's the will of God that we be sensitive and that we be attentive and that we understand that sometimes the Holy Spirit of God withdraws from us because we're just careless. We're careless and sometimes even carnal. And we don't even realize sometimes some of the things we do, but we are quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Years ago, we were sitting around a table, and this was in Denton, Texas. at the home of Pastor Terry Johnson, who was a very godly man and a very spiritual man, is a very spiritual man. And we were just talking. There's a bunch of us around the table talking. Sometimes conversation can turn negative, or it can turn in a way that it shouldn't. And as different ones were talking, one individual specifically said something about another person, and Brother Johnson said, "Sister, that's gossip." Whoa. He corrected her for her gossip and dealt with that. My, it's pretty strong if someone corrects you, if you're gossiping or slandering or saying something that should never be said. But I think it would be worthwhile for us to allow the Spirit of God to put us in check of what we say and what we do, anything that might hinder the flow and the move of the Spirit of God. I don't think that anyone would, any Christian would intentionally grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we do that. We do that through our dishonesty. We do it through our allowing bitterness in our heart, through slander or gossip or our temper or a contentious spirit, or on and on the list of the ghosts that might be the works of the flesh that begin to manifest themselves even in a small way. And when they do in our life, then the Holy Spirit withdraws. He withdraws from us. And we must not allow that to happen. Amen. Every believer should value and treasure the work of the Spirit of God. It should be precious to us that we can enter into His presence, that we can invite the presence of the Lord into a service like this one here tonight, and know that the Holy Spirit is here and He is in our midst and He is working among us in this place. We don't want to do anything. Not anything. We don't want to allow anything to stop that or to quench the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want to hinder or put the fire out. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes and works among us. Many places in the Old Testament, it describes the Spirit of God as striving with men. The Spirit of God that strives with men. Amen. The Holy Spirit says, I don't remember exactly, I didn't write down the verse, but it talks about the fact, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." That there are things that you can do, and it's really in the text of a people that are allowing things they shouldn't be allowing into their lives and into their circle of fellowship and worship. And the Spirit of God says, "I'm not going to always strive with men. I'm not going to always deal with men. I'll withdraw if you don't make this place a place that I am welcome and I can work and I can move." When the Holy Spirit strives, it just means that he pleads with men. He contends with men. He deals with men. Let me tell you, that can happen. Anytime we get together in a church service, the Spirit of God can deal with sinners. He can deal with you and me as Christians and believers about things in our life that are not pleasing to the Lord. The Spirit of God talks to us, pleads with us, deals with us, points out the areas of our lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. And thank God that He does. Thank God that He does. Amen. What is it when the Spirit is striving? Well, it's the power of God that it begins to be applied to the mind and to the thinking of men, causing them to be confronted with truth, and their mind, their reasoning, and their mind has to be convinced or persuaded of the truth. And the Holy Spirit comes against a carnal mind and strives with men, contends with them, to bring the truth to them so that they'll respond and believe the truth. That happens all the time. The enemy doesn't want to let go. The enemy has a hold of the lives of people. Sometimes there are strongholds in our lives as Christians, and we just go along thinking, "Oh, this is okay. What I'm doing is okay. What I believe is okay. And I'm going to be all right. And I don't have to listen to this." But the Spirit of God strives with you and talks to you and pleads with you to listen to the voice of truth. Amen. But my spirit will not always strive with men. That just tells me that there comes an end to God's dealing with men. That he, if you persist and you're stubborn and rebellious against God, there comes a time when God's spirit withdraws. And I can't say when that happens or how long that you have to resist the voice of God that it happens. But I'm convinced that it does. It does. And we need to be attentive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. Glory to God. The Spirit of God convinces us that we're sinners. The Spirit of God deals with us and causes us, when we are carnally minded, to become spiritually minded. We are convinced of the fact that we're wrong and we're headed the wrong direction. We're doing the wrong things. And it's the Holy Spirit that deals with the thinking and the minds of people. Amen. Acts 7 and 51, it says, this was the apostle speaking directly to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." There was a spirit in that religious system that rejected the truth and had their own system of beliefs that was part truth and part error, and they were convinced that they were right, so much so that they were arrogant and full of pride and were not teachable and were not humble and receiving. And so when the Spirit of God dealt with them, they resisted it. They rejected it. Resisted the voice of the Spirit of God. I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he was doing the exact same thing. Remember when he was converted, the Lord spoke to Paul and said, "Why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you kicking against the goad?" It was the Spirit of God that was dealing with him. Even though he thought he was doing the right thing, his mind was twisted by a religious thinking, a religious system that was wrong. But it was the Holy Spirit that was dealing with him, and he was resisting it and kicking against the prod that was prodding him and reminding him, "You're wrong, Paul, you're wrong. You're going the wrong direction. You're doing the wrong thing." It was the Spirit of God in that day on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And on that day, he was changed. "Why, Paul? Saul, Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you resisting the voice of the Spirit of God that's dealing with you and talking to you?" Have you seen people like that before? Oh, I have. I'm sure that you have. You've witnessed people that God was dealing with them and they would say, "No, he's not." And you'd say, "I believe that God's dealing with you." "No, God's not dealing with me. I believe you're under conviction." "No, I'm not under conviction." And you could see it all over them. You could see it in their heart and even on their face that God was talking to them and they were resisting the Spirit of God. It's a serious thing to quench the Holy Spirit. It's a serious thing. So it's just you and me here tonight, just church folks, just believers. Is it possible that the Spirit of God would want to move among us and even every one of our services, but we would resist that? We would quench that? We'd put the flame out? That we would grieve the Holy Spirit by our attitude or our actions or our words or even our spirit? We'd grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh God, help us to come into your house and to have the kind of attitude that you don't want to do anything that would hinder the voice of God. You want to welcome God to come by and to speak and to move and to have his way. Amen. Sometimes we quench the Spirit because we want things we have a selfish motive. Isn't that interesting that we would want the Spirit of God to move because we have a selfish motive? We want him to do it our way. Amen. Amen. "God, you just work it out my way. You do it my way." Do you understand that God, by his Spirit, can work and move in ways that you could never even imagine? You could never even plan it. You couldn't even conceive of what God wants to do. So don't quench the Holy Spirit, because God might be working and speaking and dealing with people, and don't allow anything. I mean, if things happen in a service and you say, wow, that can't be right. That's not the right thing to say or the right thing to do. And it doesn't fit into your little understanding of what you expect that God might want to do. Don't allow your selfish motives and selfish purposes to enter in to it. Make sure that what you're doing is glorifying Jesus. Amen. If there's anything that grieves the Holy Spirit, it's when a man is getting glorified. When people are getting glorified. And they're being honored and lifted up and glorified. Amen. When that happens, then the Spirit of God retreats. The Spirit of God is removed. The Spirit of God is looking for people that are waiting upon the Lord. They're humbly waiting upon the Lord. And they're in tune and they're sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. And they do not want to do anything to hinder the move of God. Don't want to do anything that would hinder it. And we want His name to be glorified. Remember when Peter and John healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, when they were called and questioned and called on the carpet, asking them, what about this? What did you do? And this healing. And they just said, this man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. They glorified Him. He did it. We didn't do it. We just obeyed God. We were just a vessel that He used, but it was through His holy name. Whenever men are glorified, the Spirit of God is quenched. Amen. That's why I don't have a lot of patience for some of these, you know, glorified TV preachers and different ones. You know, and it's all about them, and it's all about their presentation, and all about who they are, and all about their $1,500 suit, and all about all, you know, and it's man-centered, and it does not glorify God. I'm not saying everybody on TV is like that. I'm just saying that there are some that have taken on that spirit that is a spirit of carnality, and that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It grieves the Spirit. Amen. When men trust in themselves and don't trust in God, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we think we know how everything ought to go in a church service or in the lives of people, when all the while we need to be dependent upon the voice of the Spirit of God. You remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 5, two different battles that David has with the Philistines. And the first one is in verse 19 of 2 Samuel chapter 5. And David inquired, it says, he inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David obeyed the Lord, and the Philistines were defeated that day. But it wasn't long at all till the Philistines rose up again against them. Now, David could have said, well, the last time this happened, the Lord said, go ahead and go fight them, and so I could just do it again. But this time, the Lord says, no, I want you to do it differently this time. David could have said, this is the way the Lord said to do it the first time, but now, it is the Spirit of God. He goes and he inquires of the Lord the second time. Lord, shall I go up? Shall I go up against them? And the Lord has a different plan this time. He says, wait this time. Wait and circle around from another vantage point, and wait until there is a movement in the mulberry trees. And when you see that, then you're going to know that the Lord's already gone before you against your enemy. And the message was, he was trusting God. He wasn't trusting in his fighting ability. He was putting his trust in the Lord. We grieve the Holy Spirit whenever we trust in our own strength. Amen. When we try it in our own power, Now, there's a lot of ways that we can quench the Spirit, put out the flame, hinder the flame, grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But I think you've got the message here tonight that we need to be sensitive to the voice of God. We need to teach our children the importance of being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, children are children, but they can learn. They can learn, and children are many times much more sensitive to the Spirit of God even than adults are. They're very sensitive. But parents, we have to teach them how to pay attention to God, to the things of God, how to enter into the Spirit, how to learn how to do that. Now, my mom, she carried a little switch in her purse, and when we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing, she took us outside and she reminded us of what we needed to do. It didn't take very many times for us to know we need to come in and we need to, you know, set up and pay attention and listen to what's going on. And surprisingly, as young kids, we could hear the voice of God. We could hear the Spirit of God, and God dealt with us. Even when we're very, very young, the Spirit of God, His Spirit, we must not resist the Spirit. We must not quench the Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit, but instead, let's fan the flame. Amen. Amen. Keep our ears attentive and open to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can expect that every time we come into this place, that you're going to meet with us by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to set aside everything, every thought, every word, every deed, everything, Lord, that's in our life, Lord, that might quench the Spirit. Anything that might hinder the moving of the Spirit in our lives and in our services, help us, Lord, to be attentive unto your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.